Stan, you're also an expert in preparedness. We'll talk about that in a second. But tell us a little bit about the prophecy. What's out there?
Well, the prophecy from the Christian point of view does, especially in the book of Revelation, does speak about...
There you go.
Wow, what was that?
That's got to be on the RB Trumbly side, huh? Is there a train back there, RB?
What's that?
Was there a train back there?
No.
I heard a train a coming.
Anyway, in the Revelation of John, in that book, they do speak in one section of it, in the end of the sixth seal and in the seventh seal, which is called the seal of judgment. But anyway, they do speak about a great, huge earthquake hitting the earth during the time of the tribulation period, and the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon looking at the color of blood. Now, that's figurative discussions of things, and it says the stars of heaven will fall to the earth, you know, like unripe figs shaken by a mighty wind. Now, what I'm seeing here is the sun is changing. I know for a fact that in 1991, two new spectral emissions, or two new frequencies came out of the sun in the ultraviolet range. I talked to the Air Force officer in charge at Learmouth, which is in the west coast of Australia at the time, and was getting the lecture about it when it was occurring. This was something that solar physicists had not predicted that the sun would do. It was not in a harmful radiation band, so nobody got too concerned about it. A number of papers are written on it, and even Bill Livingston, Dr. Livingston, down at the National Solar Observatory in Tucson, wrote some papers which were kind of adjacent to that, talking about the effect of the various radiations on plankton and things like that, heating up the ocean and causing warming of the planet because of these two new emissions. Now, that is telling us something right there that we don't know enough about the solar mechanisms to be absolutely positive about what's about to happen, what is happening at the moment. As Holly has put on our website, there is a slowdown in the convection currents, which come from the equators and move up toward the polar regions of hot gases on the outer layers of the sun. These convection currents are slowing down. They have been for several decades and getting slower and slower. To me and to a number of folks studying this, this indicates there's going to be a change in the solar irradiance factor, which means that the energy coming from the sun in visible and non-visible light spectra. Now, this could cause one of two things, whichever way it goes. It could cause a global winter, nuclear winter, or it could cause that heating that we're talking about. Now, this biblical prophecy talking about the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair, if the hydrogen reaction that we see if producing the helium up on the surface of the sun now, if that reaction does start to cool and the core of the planet, of the sun starts to shrink, as we know it will someday, if that someday is now, then that could drop the luminance of the sun enough that it would become slightly reddish for during the transition period from burning the hydrogen to burning the helium. And that light would probably make the sun, or sorry, the moon, look like the color red or like blood.
Right.
Now, things falling to the earth, the other prophecies in the Revelation there in the seventh seal talk about the sun getting so hot it burns the grass and the trees and all kinds of terrible things from the heat of the sun, starting fires. And people are hiding in caves and underground to get away from the heat of this period of time, which we think, kind of estimating from a number of factors, will be several weeks. But people do survive this. It's just an uncomfortable thing, and I suspect roads won't even be, a majority of them that are asphalt won't be usable because the asphalt will melt and your tires will stick and
oh, God.
Slippery slime. Dirt roads will be good and things like that, but... I wonder if during this transition stage, if it does occur now, if the sun will throw off more, eject more mass into the solar wind that comes at us all the time anyway, such that we have hot plasma gases actually reach the planet and start these fires. I don't know, but I'm just trying to read what's here and then compare that to the Native American, the people prophecies,
mm-hmm.
which say that if the sun is going to get hot. Our brother, the sun is going to get hot, and it's going to be for several weeks. So we know for a fact, having talked to the people involved with it, that the Lakota Indian nation, or republic, they call themselves up in the Dakotas, have recently requested of a person that builds underground shelters to quote them for building hundreds of underground shelters for the Lakota Nation. Didn't say why, but I know why, because we talked to the Hopi down south in Arizona, and the Hopi have said the same thing to us personally, even though they don't say it out on the Internet, is there are a number of the Orthodox or traditional Hopi who are building underground kivas with foot-and-a-half-thick mud walls and stocking it with food and water to last them several weeks to a couple of months when the sun gets hot and they have to hide from their brother the sun. So these things tell me, you know, just I don't know exactly when, but it's close. You know, it's what we call Hopi soon.
Right. So you don't have any doubts that it's not, that it's going to happen?
No, I don't. It's just a matter of when.
How about preparedness? What do we do?
Well, the Hopi kind of have a very simple thing. They've got the water they're putting in urns underground into their kivas, and they have burned wood, pine wood, to fine ash and sifted out the big chunks. They've got this fine wood ash, and they're putting corn and bean in there dry, and they say it will keep for up to 30 years inside the ash, which has phenols and various other compounds, which will keep the bacteria from rotting the food. So they're storing stuff like that. They just blow off the ash and wash it off a bit, and they have stuff to cook and eat underground. You and I probably wouldn't like that much. Our dietary systems or our bodies are probably used to more refined foods, and so being practical about it, we've said to people, you know, go to our website. Holly puts up there on the preparedness website. It's called daretoprepare.com, daretoprepare.com. Easy enough. Heaps of information on how to prepare for weather anomalies and emergencies, for, you know, loss of services, loss of food, loss of petrol, loss of job, loss of gasoline, sorry. And it's all free. I mean, it's we've had it up there for a period of time.
Yeah, you have. Long time.
I think, going back to 1996 even, that's what, nearly 12 years, 10, 11, 12 years almost. But anyway, Holly adds that every time something new comes up that we can share with people. Recently we've had some people contributing articles, professional people, which she's put up, which are quite helpful. And if you just go and read those things, it will give you details of how to prepare the simple things you may not have thought about around your home for food, water, medicine, communication, so you can hear what's going on when the power goes off, because we do anticipate a number of disasters that will cut power to people. If we have a flu epidemic that's so bad that people are confined, quarantined for 2 or 3 weeks, nobody's going to be manning the power supply stations, and we're going to have power outages, and people are going to have to deal with it until everybody gets well or enough of them get well to go back and start running things.